All right, listen, I am so excited to have him here because this is growing weather. Whether you're trying to make your grass green or fall bulb planting, and I'm actually going to bring him back for a command performance tomorrow night on Rob Pratt Monday night because we have a lot of ground to cover and you have a lot of things to plant on that ground. But, you know, he was a part of a podcast that has really taken on a life of its own. We're going to get to that in just a moment. Out there at an incredible place that is Sorgles in Wexford. But we always like to begin with something good, like a giveaway from Sorgles, those great folks out Randy and Company in Wexford. So if you're the 10th caller at 412-922-1020, you'll win that gift certificate. Pumpkinland continuing another weekend at Janoski's. We'll have a gift certificate from them at the bottom of the hour. But right now it's time for news and notes and take a stroll through the garden and around town with Doug to begin the broadcast. And then we'll get right to your phone calls, 866-391-1020. And coming up within the hour, Mrs. Know-It-All too. So a jam-packed hour of fun. Not much sun today, but nevertheless, fall planting time is here, and Mr. Oster has a lot to get to, so let's welcome him back. DougOster.com. Doug Oster, the Organic Gardener, Odyssey, 100.1 FM, AM 1020, KDK. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Rob. And yes, yesterday I was at Sorgles, and I had the most wonderful visit. Part of about once a quarter, I've been asked to be a guest on the Yeah Jagoff podcast, which airs on Mondays. It's part of the KDK radio family. And we just had just the most wonderful time. I've got to give some props to the Pilastro Polka Band. Father and two adult sons that have been playing together for a long, long time, and there's just no way that you cannot be happy when you hear this band play. And they play on the podcast. We had a great sing-along, and they are a gardening family, too. We talked a lot about gardening, you know, about extending the season and how about keeping a poinsettia going year-round. It was just a great day. And one of the things I found there at Sorgles was they have a bin filled with big, ugly blue Hubbard squash, and I don't know if you remember, but years and years ago we made this the best pumpkin pie for one of our Giant Eagle Market District talks back when we were doing that, and we made it out of a blue Hubbard squash. And so if you're so inclined to want to make like your own from scratch pumpkin pie, get one of those blue Hubbard squashes. It's amazing. And another thing in the podcast that I think people don't realize, we had fresh apples. I mean, fresh sorghum apples. And the difference between that fresh apple and something that's been sitting around forever, they were just so crisp and tasty and so many different varieties. And just see Randy holding this big thing of apples and explaining, you know, knowing what each one is just by looking at it, it's just really cool. And then, I got an apple pie. I had two pieces yesterday and cider. It was amazing. At Sorgles also, I was poking around. They've got, if you ever wanted to try and overwinter some mums, I know it's late in the season, but they have bargain mums and bargain perennials too. It's certainly not too late to plant perennials. So lots of great bargains at Sorgles. And our Sorgles celebration of apples will continue later with Mrs. Know-It-All. She has some great ideas on how to use those fresh apples in the kitchen, and wait till you hear what she marinates her apples in before baking a pie. I think you'll be pie-eyed during dessert. I'm also going to ask her about the tradition that she has of Ravioli Day with her family. She had to have the day off last Sunday due to Ravioli Day, and I remember hearing about Ravioli Day from her, but and then I started to go a little deeper into it. It sounds really interesting. And I know we had some tough weather last night, but boy, did I need the rain. You know, after my Sorgles visit yesterday, I got everything in the ground that's been sitting around to be planted. New hydrangea, new type of Invincible hydrangea, and a mock orange from Proven Winners, which they sent me. And I'm glad to get them in the ground. A couple lilacs I bought at Han Nursery. And then lots of bargain clematis, and I planted a clematis experiment. And so I've been playing around with this here and there in the garden, where I will plant a clematis at the base of a tree or shrub. And once it gets established, those vines will grow up into the tree, but it doesn't take anything from the tree. Everything that it needs is in the ground. And so it's not hurting the tree or the shrub. And then, in this case, it's a serviceberry tree. Early in the season, the serviceberry will bloom, and then hopefully, eventually, after a few years, those vines will also bloom later in the season. So it's pretty cool. And just like the bargains at Sorgles, there's bargains galore out there. Keep planting trees, shrubs, perennials. I started some cool weather veggies still just from seed this late in the season. And don't forget to plant some bulbs. We are in prime time for bulb planting. And you can win some free bulbs courtesy of flowerbulbs.com. Flowerbulbs.com doesn't sell bulbs, but they're just like me. They encourage people to plant bulbs, and I love that because I want people to plant bulbs. And I often refer to it this way. It's not instant gratification, but, boy, in the spring, it's magic. And so today, if you'd like to win a package of 50 Fritillaria bulbs, do you know what Fritillaria are? This deer-resistant, unique, beautiful bulbs, and there's lots of different species in there. Courtesy of flowerbulbs.com, just go to DougOster.com. Now, here's how you do it. There's been a little bit of confusion for entering the contest. You go to DougOster.com. Everything's free. You click that on the top of that page, there's just a contact button, contact me, and it just sends an email directly to me. So go to DougOster.com to try and win these bulbs. Hit the contact button, and then just type the word bulbs, and you are entered. And then Tuesday, I'll pick the winner randomly. This is also the time to fertilize, reseed, and aerate the lawn. Aeration is really key in the fall. Every few years, you rent an aeration machine. It takes these thumb-sized plugs out of the soil, leave them on the grass, and that's your then your fertilizer and your water can get down to the root zone. That is just a great thing for your lawn. And then I reposted the article about how to grow figs in the in a northern climate. My friend Steve Biggs, he's from Toronto, and he taught me. He's a fig expert. He taught me how to get figs ready for the winter. And pretty soon we're going to be doing that. As soon as we get a frost, I can't believe we haven't had one yet. But it's a good thing. Your peppers are probably loving it out there. But I've been picking figs off trees because of Steve Biggs. And all that information, the entire story, is reposted at DougOster.com. We had Chuck Lavelle from the Rolling Stones on the program a few weeks ago, and I couldn't use the full 20-minute interview he gave me, but I've posted a transcript of everything that we talked about, and there's some good stuff in there. I didn't have time for it on the air, but one thing is how he just explains his approach to each song he records, which I found it fascinating. I do have a live event coming up. There are a few spots left. Thursday, 10:30 a.m. at the Pittsburgh Botanic Garden. I do a quarterly botanic walk and talk with the executive director, Keith Kaiser. We explore the gardens, the woodlands, including this new amazing art exhibit outdoor art exhibit, which is amazing. And you'll teach about the trees and shrubs and perennials blooming in autumn. And then after the walk, we get a plant-based lunch, $35 for garden members, $45 for non-members, but that includes admission to the gardens all day long. All right, Rob, are we ready for a break?
We are ready for a break. We'll come back. And if you have any questions for Doug, now would be a great time to call, 866-391-1020. Mrs. Know-It-All within the half hour. So it's you and Doug on the phones. Fill them up, 866-391-1020. Back with more of The Organic Gardener, Doug Oster, DougOster.com. Rob Pratt, Sunday, KDKA. Good morning. All right, yes, he is. Lots of calls. Let's begin with Tim in Lower Borough for Doug Oster, DougOster.com. Hi, Tim.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
Doug, garlic. Do I have to put that urea on my plants?
No. That's a high nitrogen, and that'd be the wrong thing for garlic.
Okay. Just use regular natural stuff like leaves.
The best stuff if you could find it is called bulb tone. So the word bulb, like you're planting a bulb, and the word tone together, it's specifically formulated for helping bulbs grow, and it would be perfect for garlic. This is garlic planting time. You know, we need to find the right kind of garlic. I've been talking a lot about Janoski's garlic because, man, it is good and it's huge.
I have Killarney Spanish, and I forget the other one. I planted them already.
Oh, that's great. Now, where did you get them? Because that Killarney, I've grown that one before. I like that one. Where did you get them from?
Is there something I can still plant right now?
Well, we're continuing to plant garlic through November, and yes, there are lots of other things to plant right now in the vegetable garden. You could find these plants at our sponsors, things like kale and arugula, beets, Swiss chard, lettuce, those kind of
things. Oh, good.
Those can all go in. Those can all go in right now, and then when we get a little colder, end of November into December, we start to give them a little bit of protection. And that could be something as simple as just a 3-mil clear drop cloth from the hardware store. Just give it some kind of support, like a hoop or something, and that becomes a little greenhouse outdoors. Good luck with your garlic, and thanks for your call.
All right, let's keep it going. Let's go to Mary in Munhall. Hey, Mary.
I want to transplant hostas. Should I do it now in the fall or spring? What time is the best?
Well, you can do it either way. I like to do it in the spring, but if you feel you're going to be too busy in the spring, this is the problem. You know, there's
no,
a lot of work.
Okay. I'll do it in the spring. Thank you.
A lot of work to do in the spring, and if you can't get to it, you could do it now. So hostas are really tough. The reason we do it in the spring is when they're just poking up, when you either take them out and divide them or you cut off the edges. As soon as they leaf out, you can't tell it. If you're transplanting or cutting them up now, you'll be able, you know, it pretty much messes up the plant. But at this late juncture in the season, if you're comfortable moving them now and you have time to do it, there's no problem. Just go ahead and move them. And as I said, they're tough as nails. Make sure when you get them back in the soil after you transplant them, they get a nice drink of water and get them established. I always add a little compost into that soil. Because you've got an opportunity where the plant's out of the garden, and now you can improve the soil wherever you're going to put it, stick it back in there. Like I said, give it water, a little bit of mulch, and you'll be good to go. Thanks very much.
All right, let's keep it going. Let's see if we can get another one or two in here before the bottom of the hour. Susan, North Hills for Doug Oster. Hi, Sue.
Hi. We have some kind of vine growing through our lawn. It's like taking over the entire lawn. There's like more vine almost than grass now. You can like pull this up and it comes up in like almost looks like a spider web kind of thing. It's like it's really weird. Are we gonna have to like dig up our whole lawn to get rid of that, or is there something we can
we
put
need to,
on
we need
there
to figure out, we need to figure out which vine it is, and so
okay.
does it have any flowers on it, or it doesn't flower?
No flowers.
All right, so it's probably, my guess is Virginia creeper. When you pull it up, is it rooting all the way along the its vine and working
its
way?
Yeah, but very, very shallowly, yes.
Okay, yeah. Look up Virginia creeper and see if those leaves match what I'm thinking here. And so it's a little bit more complicated than just pulling them up, but you're not going to have to redo your whole lawn. But try and get as many, you know, it's a pain. Try and get as many of those vines out as possible. But when we see that in the lawn, that tells us that we need to help out the grass a little bit by getting a soil test, figuring out what the pH is and what the fertility is. A soil test from the Penn State Cooperative Extension from your county, whatever it might be, is $9. And this is a good time to get one, and they'll send you the kit. You'll just dig up a little bit of the soil. You send it to a lab. They'll send you back all this great technical information that tells you where your pH is in your lawn and where your fertility is. And basically, if you can get that, you know, it's not overnight, but if you get that pH right and you get that fertility right, the grass very much will be so happy, and it will outgrow just about anything. And so get those vines out of there, get the soil test, and then follow the recommendations in the soil test. Enough time for one more question, Rob, or not?
Yeah, let's do one more quick one. Let's go to Nancy and Arnold. Nancy, go ahead, please.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I bought this plant at the beginning of summer. It was called, it's called a citronella mosquito plant. It has grown by leaps and bounds. Can I leave it outside all winter, or is it a house plant? I got no instructions with it when I bought it.
That's going to have to come inside. I'm assuming it's a citronella geranium, but Don't worry about that. Find a spot for it. Keep it on the dry side. Keep it on the windowsill. And then before you know it, you'll be taking it back outside. Real quick, did it work? Did it stop the mosquitoes?
Well, I really don't know. I didn't notice it that much because I really wasn't around. I kept it on my porch, my front porch. And I seem to frequent my back porch more than the front. So,
well, they smell
I don't
great.
Know.
So
but it's a beautiful plant.
Yeah,
can I
bring
cut it down? Because, you know, like I say, it's...
Yeah, you can trim it back also when you bring it in. All right.
Okay.
Out of time, Rob,
right.
for this seg.
Got 30 seconds, all yours.
Well, I want to tell you really quick that I found some seats for my upcoming May trip to England and Holland. We're going to see the Chelsea Flower Show, Kew Gardens, Sissinghurst Castle, which is the famous White Garden. Then we'll take the Eurostar high-speed train to Holland, doing Amsterdam, a food tour. And then every decade, it's this thing called Floriade, 143-acre town reconfigured for the celebration of gardening. It's all at DougOster.com. Come with me. We'll have fun.
All right, we'll take a short break. We'll come back. On the other side, it's Dan in Franklin Park, John in Murrysville. We've got room for you folks. 866-391-1020. Coming up next hour, we continue on Rob Pratt Sunday. And yes, it is the Coons Cooking Hour. Joe and Frank Dentici, who are en route right now to Odyssey 100.1 FM, AM 1020, KDK. And today, Campbell Soup Recipes. All right, here we go. 10th caller wins a $25 gift certificate to Janoski's. We're Pumpkin Land. We'll be opening today at 10 a.m. That number is 412-922-1020. 412-922-1020. Right back to these busy phones for Doug Oster. Here's Dan in Franklin Park. Hey, Dan, good morning.
Good morning.
What's your question?
I got a couple of plugs. First of all, my dad, Al, isn't gardening much anymore, but he grew tomatoes on his porch, and he's still got a couple of Heart of Italy, and he just raves every time they eat one. So wanted to tell Doug, because that was something he put out a couple of years ago.
Dan, that's good news. I'm glad that you guys are enjoying that Heart of Italy. That's become one of my favorite tomatoes. And I'm done with them, but I'm glad that Al still has his. And then a friend of mine texted me the other day and has a few, picking a few Heart of Italy's too. What else is going on?
The other thing I wanted to say is I had Davey Tree out to look at my various things, and it was just a great thing. So if you got tree problems or you need advice, call him because it was they did a really great job. So my two questions are, one, talk to me a little bit about seed saving. I've got tomato seeds I want to save for next year.
Okay.
And the other one is I've got Brussels sprouts, and I've serenaded them. I've neemed them, and they're still, the leaves are getting eaten up. And so if you got any advice to next steps.
All right, so let's start with the saving seeds from tomatoes first. We want to pick a tomato that's a little overripe but not rotten. And when we're thinking seed saving, whatever the plant might be, we're getting the seeds before the plant drops them on the ground. And so in the case of a tomato, that's a seed delivery system. In most cases, you know, lettuce and beans and things like that, it's a dried seed. It's easy to tell. And you can just take them off the vine and put them in an envelope, and you're good to go. But with tomatoes, we need to do this fermentation process first. And we all know that if you just leave a tomato on the ground at the end of the year, it'll sprout. The next spring, you'll have lots of volunteers. So this is just the best way to do it, or the best way that I've been taught to do it. You squeeze the pulp into a glass of water and stir it once a day for two or three days. It ferments that gelatinous coating off the seed, and now we take that seed and just lay it out on what I like to use is a thick white coffee filter, because they don't stick too bad to those. You know, if you do a paper towel, you're going to have, you know, basically a seed tape of paper towel. You're never going to get the tomato seeds off there, which is okay. You can sprout them that way too. And then storage is really important for seed saving. First, be sure they're labeled. All seeds look the same. You know, if you're doing tomatoes, do each tomato separately and label it. And then store it in a dry like airtight mason jar or baby food jar, some kind of airtight glass jar in a cool, dry place. For the Brussels sprouts, Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew would work, but we're really close to a frost. We've got to be within a couple weeks of a frost. Once that happens, they'll stop eating that Brussels sprouts, and then you can start eating them. All right, Dan, thanks so much for your call.
All right, next up, it is John in Murraysville. Hi, John, how are you? Good morning.
Morning. About 4 years ago, about this time of year, I planted tulip bulbs. The first year they came up, they looked beautiful, flowers. The next 2 years after that, none of the flowers came up. It was just the leaves. What happened? Is there a certain way you have to plant tulip bulbs? Are they now damaged? The leaves come up, but there's no bulb, no flower.
This is very, very common nowadays, depending on what kind of tulip that you're planting. I'm looking at tulips as annuals. You know, there are some versions that are pretty perennial, but the key to tulips is that they must dry out during the summer. But even that being said, you might not get more than 2 or 3 years out of them. You know, my neighbor had some, they're called Darwin tulips, like Charles Darwin. Those are really hardy and perennial. He for 40 years, he's had those tulips blooming. But in my case, I've never seen that in my garden. And so I'm buying tulips every year. And believe me, I hear this every spring where all you get is this kind of gray, greenish foliage. And so it's nothing you're doing wrong, really. It's just that's just kind of the way tulips are. If you go, you know, if you're buying new tulips, look for Darwin's. And then there are smaller versions, gray guy tulips, and then species tulips, which are a little bit more perennial. But as far as I'm concerned, all I'm doing is I'm planting tulips every fall and just enjoying the blooms and then replanting every year. I know that, you know, daffodils are the opposite. Daffodils will be super perennial for you. But, you know, tulips nowadays, I consider them annuals.
So so if I replant them, what do I do with the old bulbs? Just throw them out there and let the deer eat them?
They would enjoy them. You're not going to get anything else out of them. And so, put them in a compost pile and keep planting and just enjoy them in the spring. Thanks so much for your call.
All right, let's keep it going. Here's Kim in Wexford for Doug Oster. Hi, Kim.
Hey, I have a question for Doug. Here it is. When I have white flies and I overwinter a lot of my plants, and I wondered how you get rid of them before bringing them in.
White flies are they're just a pest. They're not a big deal, but you got to get them off that plant before you bring it inside. And so the first thing is just to, before it comes in, physically shake it, get as many of them off there as you can, and then I like to put them in what I call a halfway house, which is like a sun porch or something like that. And then I'm applying horticultural oil or insecticidal soap, it's called. Both those things can be found at any good nursery. Usually you mix it up into a sprayer, and then you might got to make sure that you spray it on the insect itself while it's sitting on the plant. And we do that a couple times before we bring it from that halfway house into the house and have to be sure that all those white flies are taken care of. And when we're, you know, this is the time of the year where we see white flies out there. And when you bring a plant into that halfway house, you're going to get white flies like crazy if it's already on the plant. They're going to hatch out. They're going to like this warm weather. So that horticulture oil and insecticidal soap will do a good job, but at least two applications and probably three in as many weeks before they come in officially into the house. And that'll do the trick for you.
All right, short break. Mrs. Know-It-All coming up next. And it's time, Doug.
Time for Mrs. Know-It-All. That's horticulturist Denise Schreiber. And I don't know if you know this about Denise, but she's quite a foodie and has been for a long time. Wrote a book called Eat Your Roses, and I can remember all those edible flower festivals that you threw, how much fun we had eating all that cool stuff. I want to hear about this ravioli night, though, this family tradition. Where does this come from, and tell me a little bit about it.
Well, actually, it started right after my mother died. And my cousins and I decided that we'd rather see each other at something fun than just at funerals. So we started Ravioli Day. We use my grandmother's recipe, and we all get together. We've got a couple big KitchenAid mixers and make our dough, and then we have the pasta attachment rollers and roll out this dough that's like 2-3 feet long. When we're done, we have a great time, and we have ravioli.
Is it all day?
It probably takes us about 5-6 hours. It's fun.
What do you? What do you stuff those raviolis with? Yeah, what, say it again?
We have wine there, but okay. You know, we make the fillings, and then my brother actually brings his homemade sauce from tomatoes from his garden. And we actually have like a mini meal of the ravioli and just kind of talk about, you know, growing up, Sunday dinners at my aunt's house. And, you know, because Italians, you have Sunday dinner at the relative's house. And we do fun stuff like that. But it's good that we get to see each other. And I have cousins that have come as far away as Oregon and Milwaukee, and cousins out in Philadelphia and Harrisburg. And so we don't see each other most of the time, but this way we do. And we always have this weekend planned.
Before we get to apples, what do you stuff those raviolis with?
Well, we do a cheese mixture and we do a meat mixture. And for those that are interested, I actually posted the recipe on my Mrs. Know-It-All Facebook page, so they can go there and look at it there. You know, probably the problem with creating recipes is, like you said, I'm a foodie, I'm a cook. Baking is one thing, that's science and chemistry. Cooking, you've got a little leeway. So when I say, you know, an amount of parsley, it's more like I grab a handful of parsley.
You're the same way. You cook the same way I do, Denise. That's great. But we were talking yesterday, and I cannot believe. tell me about your apple pies.
Well, always try to be a little creative and different, you know, when I make my apple pie. And so the one thing is there are different apples that you should use for pie and other ones that you want to use for applesauce or other things. So for my apple pie, I like to use Granny Smith because they are a good baking apple. And Randy Sorgel told me that if you're going to make pies, you want to use one type of apple rather than a mix so that they all cook at the same time so you don't have a really hard apple and a really soft one. You know, so you can use Golden Delicious, you can use Pink Lady, you can use Honeycrisp, everybody loves it, Northern Spy, Johnna Gold Tart. Those are all good apples that you can use. But if you're making applesauce, you want to mix. And when I've gone to Sorgel's, you know, I'm making applesauce, so they give you a mix of apples, and that gives you, you know, different flavors and textures. So when I make my apple pie, I take some Maker's Mark bourbon and pour it over my apples and let it sit for about 20 minutes, and I kind of toss them periodically. And then I cook them down a little bit so you don't get drunk on my apple pie. You know, you don't
that
get pie
my,
eyes,
that was
you
my,
said.
That was my question. Do you don't
no,
get
you cook
drunk
the alcohol
the
off.
Pie?
And, you know, I saute them in a little butter just to kind of soften them a little bit. And then I put it in my pie crust and bake them away. It's just a different, what they call a note in the flavor that you have, kind of that smoky flavor you get from bourbon without it being, you know, oh, my God, I just ate bourbon.
So I'm not going to get drunk when I eat your pie.
No, you're not going to get drunk when
okay,
you eat
good.
My pie.
And then how about for the crust? What do you do for a crust?
It depends on how much time I have. I make a crust that's a little different. I don't do the ice water and butter. I actually do one that involves milk and vinegar. And while I didn't post that, I can post it later. It's a really easy pie crust to work with, and it's nice and flaky. It's just as flaky as the one you do with, you know, the ice water. And if I'm feeling really lazy, I can use the prepackaged stuff.
All right, Denise, thank you so much. That's great. And check out those recipes. You know, Mrs. Know-It-All is a great foodie and makes great food. Now, I am answering all your questions after the show at DougOster.com. But go there today to enter to win a package of 50 what are called Fritillaria bulbs. And they are this wonderful, deer-resistant, beautiful, beautiful bulb that we plant now and enjoy in the spring. And remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.